I feel like a drug dealer because I don't have social media on my phone, yeah. And I download it and I do what I got to do, then I get off of it. But it makes me feel like a drug dealer where I'm like, I'll do a little, but I'm mainly selling it.
That's so true.
Yeah. It's like I want other people to be on it, but also just so I can sell tickets. By the way, this week I'm in blah, blah, blah. You know?
Trekking heavy or traveling light. There's one thing that's right wherever I go. That's where I am.
We're good whenever we are. I'm good. You good?
I'm good.
You good?
I'm good.
We're good. What's up, everybody? Welcome to This Week in Zoltan. I am Zoltan. This is my podcast. This is episode 372, maybe. Maybe it's 372A. Maybe it's 14,458. Do you have any idea how much wasted space we have for all the podcasts that we record? Can you imagine? Like, we're the generation that's documenting everything, and most of it isn't worthy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's a good start to the show. Before we get started, I want to plug our sponsor, the Safe Journal.
If the nothingness concept bothers you, Safe Journal. Write it down.
If something about my podcast bothers you, keep it to yourself in your Safe Journal. Safe Journal, safejournal.co, 25% off if you put Zoltan at checkout. It's journaling, folks. It's about you becoming a better you. Have you not grown in a while? I actually watched a video of myself from 10 years ago, and I was embarrassed about just my tone. I could tell my entire tone was a front, and I wasn't being vulnerable, man. It was a hard offensive because I was scared of what might come back. And now I feel like I'm more comfortable just being my dumb, vulnerable self, and then whatever comes at me, I guess, is going to come no matter how I stand. So what the hell did that have to do with anything? My point is, journaling is a great aspect, a great thing that can get you to the thing where you become a better version of you. And Safe Journal is really good at that because it's, what'd you call it? Something diary.
Organized diary.
Or why can't I remember organized?
I don't know.
That's a tough one for me. It's an organized diary where it helps you reflect. And if you ever get stuck on what to write about, maybe you use the same words over and over again. And there's a bunch of tools in the front. There's an emotions wheel. There's all these different words that you can use.
Values.
Values. The core values chart. Thank you. And it's been approved by a therapist. So like someone who does therapy for a living said this journal is a good idea. So get yourself a Safe Journal. Safejournal.co. And you get a handwritten note from me if you use my promo code Zoltan at checkout. How'd you like that one?
It's good.
Not the best, right?
Last one was great.
Yeah, the last one was better. This one was more stumbly. I think because the coffee's turned on me.
It's the munchkins.
I think it's the munchkins. The sugar hit me from Dunkin', and that fake sugar from Dunkin' just puts a panic in your heart and your mind, mm-hmm. and your brain's like, I know nothing, but here's 1,000 things.
Fake sugar makes my hand twitch.
It makes my hands sweat. Yeah. My hands are sweaty right now from eating 2 munchkins.
Wow.
By the way, Duncan, I still want you to be my I want you to promote me. I just want one of those Duncan black cards. I don't even know if they have this.
Is that a real thing?
But you know, like when I don't know if it's a real thing, but I assume it is when like a company will give like an unlimited amount of their product to like a celebrity, so they walk around with like a Subway black card and then they go swipe it somewhere and they get free sandwiches. Is it a thing?
Apparently, it's a real thing. It's made
Is
up.
It?
It's according to Business Insider, it's an exclusive club made up for only the most loyal fans. They get a black card, but the big question is, how do you get one? And it seems to be a little bit. You don't know. You don't have to be a celebrity. You just have to be a frequent visitor, and they can be gifted to you.
Wow!
It's really kind of.
How would they even know?
I don't know.
See, I think you got to go to like a high-end bar and you meet the CEO of Dunkin', Phil whoever. I just made that guy up. And then you go, "Ah, a Scotch man." And then you go, "Ha ha ha." And you do that old deep Scotch laugh. And then you shake hands and then you talk about life. And then he goes, "Why don't you give me your address?" And the next day, a stainless steel box shows up and inside is a Dunkin' black card.
Well, it looks like it's also like they'll send them out as like thank yous to things, but they're gift cards. So they're not unlimited.
Oh.
And you can refill it. So it's just kind of like, I don't know.
That's silly.
I think I would frame it because honestly, I'd be embarrassed to use it. I'd be embarrassed to be at a drive-thru in Tampa and then pull out my pull out my Dunkin' Black card, and then the drive-thru person, I'm like, what the hell is this? And then I'm like, I was gifted this by the CEO, and I'm supposed to get free Dunkin'.
Yeah, you would never use it.
I would never use it.
So the other day, it was raining really hard, and I have this umbrella, and he refuses to carry an umbrella. And I'm like, why won't you just let me get you an umbrella? And he's like, because it would just be too much work of me trying to figure out where to walk and not hitting anyone. And
hitting anyone else's umbrella.
And so he'd rather get drenched than to carry an umbrella and have to deal with the schematics.
Yeah, the schematics of walking down a street where everyone, because I've seen so many people with two umbrellas and then they hit and then they spin and then people have to dodge their eyes from getting poked. And I'm like, I don't want to be a part of someone's blinding just because I didn't want my head to get moist.
Yeah, I don't. Some of these quirks are starting to worry me. Like, it's funny for but it's starting to take a little bit of a turn.
It's
to be like, you good, man?
I'm very
part of me wants to start Googling, like, just promo codes for BetterHelp.
I'm in my head all the time.
Yeah, maybe you should get a BetterHelp black card.
instead of more fake sugar.
Instead of unlimited caffeine.
Yeah, to add to my anxieties. Here's a weird one. I went to, because you and I do so much together. And like when we talk, or if I have someone there, I get out of my own head a little more. But I went to get coffee for us. Not this morning, but it was another morning. And I was in line at Variety, and I didn't know what to do with my hands. I was just standing in a line. There's like three people ahead of me, and my brain was like, you should get your wallet out. And I'm like, nah, then you're just going to be holding your wallet, standing in line like an idiot. And what are you going to do, have your card out while you're just standing there? So I'm like, yeah, I don't do that. So then I put it back. And then I'm like, nah, maybe someone saw you fidget. What are you going to do with your hands now? Just put them in your pocket. Now I'm like the weird guy, just standing there with my pocket. So then I pulled them out. And I'm like, just rub your hands. Just do that. And then I'm like, nah, now you look nervous. So then I just put my hands behind my back. And I'm like, now you look old. So then I brought them in. And then finally, this, I don't know, I was like, why is this line moving so slow? Then I got up to the front. And then I could go, hey, here's my card. I can finally use my hands. Give me something to hold.
See, that I can relate to.
You can relate to that.
Yeah. Yeah, but if it's raining, I'm grabbing an umbrella.
Okay.
Like, I think that's where, because that's like, that's why my website is in my own head. I'm not trying to make a plug, but
no,
in my own head.com is my comedy website.
I didn't know that.
Is it actually?
Yeah.
That's a great domain.
Couldn't believe I got it.
Wow.
It's called in my own
head.com.
InMyOwnHead.com. Check out good old Mike Albanese.
But that's like, I live constantly, like everything, because also because I'm a big guy, so I always feel like I'm in the way. So like I don't do my hands, and I like sometimes I'll hold my shoulders like this so that like I'm smaller in small rooms, so like no one sorry, I'm in the way, sorry guys. I don't know why I'm doing it right now, like I'm on camera. But I do, I feel, I don't know what to do with my hands ever.
That's why when I take pictures with people, I do double thumbs. Because I never know what to do with my arms. I don't want to put my arms over people because then maybe I have stinky pits. Yeah. So I just keep them in. Thumbs up. I stole this from Bob Hansen. My buddy Bob, he had a different reason. Every photo he takes, he does this. And the reason he does that is he's like, maybe one day they'll do a true Hollywood story on me on E! Or something, the show that's been canceled. And he's like, but anytime they do the dark part of someone's career, they always find a sad photo. But with me, I'm going to be an editing nightmare because they're never going to have every photo. It's just like, and then he was addicted to heroin. It's still him with like a thumbs up.
Just edit it like this. Slowly puts his thumb down.
Things are sad now.
While his thumbs are up, his life has gone down.
Good old Bob.
Good old, I love Bob. Do you know Bob Hansen?
Was he a wrestler?
Yes.
Yeah,
he was out here in New York for a while.
I knew him for a bit. Yeah.
He made me, he's a good buddy of mine, but a running joke we have right now started in Austin because we were doing shows together in Austin and we were driving. He's sitting shotgun and we're not talking. It was just a blank in the conversation. And this woman in yoga pants walked in front of the car and she left. And then I kept driving. And then after about 5 seconds, he just breaks the silence by going, buttocks. And I just started laughing. And I laughed so hard and so long that every like few weeks he'll just text me, buttocks. I just start laughing for no reason. I love it. Yeah, I'm all for it. But yeah, that's where I got the thumbs up thing. Because I never know what to do with my hands. I remember one time the subway was so crowded that I was jammed against the door, and there wasn't enough room for me to put my arm down. There's a woman here, and I didn't want my hand to be near her ass, because then I didn't want her to think I was a creep. You know, maybe sure. It jostles, and now my hand hits her ass.
Very reasonable issue.
Yeah, so right? I just held my arm up like it was in a sling, but I had no sling. It was like an imaginary sling, and it was so uncomfortable. It was crowded for many stops, yeah. And I'm just holding my arm up here. And I'm like, I look at other people, and I'm like, how are you? Anytime I see someone on the subway just blasting audio out of their phone, I'm like, how do you get that comfortable in such a public setting?
Yeah, I don't know that either.
How do you lose all social sense fears, of sense of self, and yeah. just being such a dumbass? How do you do that? Yeah. I want that. I want a little bit of that. Not too much, but just enough to where I'm not in my head on where to put my hands when I'm in line getting coffee.
I go behind my back. That's my go-to, because I don't know what else to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're behind my back. But then I also like get accused of looking like an old man walking.
Yeah,
around.
It is an old man.
Little
look.
Italy,
yeah.
Because you have to lean a little forward.
Yeah, you lean a little forward.
You're just observing.
Retired old man.
Yeah, just look like a pit boss. What are you doing here? This is a deli.
Looking at people's shoes.
Do you have your rewards card? What?
I like that. I talked. I had this embarrassing moment happen in Indiana this past week, and I went to a Panera. In the middle of nowhere, and the first employee was like dealing with the first customer, and I could tell that employee was dumb as a sack of rocks. She's just like, "What? We don't like." It was just all like she didn't know anything. I think it was her first day.
Yeah,
she was missing most of her teeth. Trailer park trash white, like me.
Sure.
So, so I'm like, I hope I don't get her. But then the manager came out and she saw the line. So she opened up a register and she gestured to me. I'm like, oh, good. This is good. And I go up to her and she's like, what would you like? And I always do a thing where I point at the menu. And that's because I don't want to make eye contact too long, because I get uncomfortable. So then I'm just like, the green cob salad, blah, blah, blah. And she cut the first part and then not the second part. And then she was also mouthing words weird. And then I look at her and I realize she's deaf. Okay. And she has to look at my lips to understand what I'm saying. So now I feel bad that I looked away in the first place and she couldn't read my lips. But now I'm overcompensating and I'm like, I would like the green cob salad and blah, blah. And then I'm like, wait, now am I being offensive? Because now I'm overcompensating because you're deaf. And I'm like, I should have went to Chick-fil-A. You know, like that was the thought that went through my head.
So how was your hamburger?
All the food came out right. The only mistake she made, and I've had people with perfect hearing make this mistake, is on the receipt it said Colton instead of Zoltan. Which Colton. Yeah. Colton?
Yeah, and if you ever wanted to be a rodeo clown. you're one syllable away.
Colton the rodeo clown. But yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of me. I think I've been more, maybe this comes with age, maybe this comes with being, I don't know, just more understanding of myself, but I'm much less of a critic of other things now that I do, like, that I'm older. Like, I watched the Oscars, and I was just so proud of everybody. Like, I honestly, like, what's his face, did the Barbie song? Your guy.
Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, Ryan Gosling did like a whole performance. He's not a singer.
Yes, he is.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, he did so good.
He did so good.
But it wasn't just the singing. It was like a huge choreography with all these extra and then dancing, and then Slash showed up. And I'm like, they worked on this for a week.
Yeah,
he must have. He was in like a warehouse somewhere in Culver City just.
Well, he was Mickey Mouse Club. He's like, oh, he's a singer dancer. He's like a dancer from back in the day.
That's right. I forgot
La La
about
Land,
that.
Singing and dancing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a man of many talents.
Very. I was just proud of him.
And,
I was,
and so dreamy.
Well, that's why Emma was watching. She's like, more Gosling. And I was like, he's so talented. You're like, he's so, like, the tone in our voices on how we were appreciating Ryan Gosling was very different. I was just like appreciating it from the talent, and you were undressing him with your eyes.
I don't know what you're talking about.
But yeah, I was just like proud of everybody, And even John Cena, I don't know if you saw what John Cena.
I saw highlights. I didn't see it.
John Cena, they did a spoof, I guess in the 70s, there was a streaker during the live Oscars, came out with his dingus out and ran across the stage, and his dingus made it on the TV. And this is before they had like delays and stuff.
Sure.
And so they tried to do a redo of that with Jimmy Kimmel and John Cena to come out with the best wardrobe, but he's naked, so he has the envelope just to cover his nuts.
I saw the picture.
And he shuffles out.
Speaking of big dumpers, he's got a really sweet butt, that John Cena.
Oh, we didn't see his butt.
It's big. Oh, I saw on TikTok. There
side
angles.
I saw the after photos, too.
Yeah, you can't have that many muscles and just have a flabby ass.
He has abs in his butt. I don't know if you can do that.
Oh, yeah. Where they got the top muscle and then sectionals.
Little striations.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
Yeah, when you can see the blood going into your ass, you're in great shape.
You've made it.
Yeah, you did it.
Quit the gym.
I think people in that good a shape should just tell us they're on steroids, even if they're not, just to make us feel better.
Yeah.
You know, just be like, no, I'm on all the growth hormone. Even if he's not, just so that I can go, thank God. You know, thank God.
It's not me.
Yeah, it's not me. You know, and if you're ever sitting on the toilet at a hotel that has a mirror on the back of the door, so now you're just seeing yourself push in such a weird, uncomfortable, you're like naked on it, and you're like, what? I don't like any of this.
Watching John Cena talk about his steroids as I dip my chips into mayonnaise. Oh, good. It's just steroids that got in there.
It's so true. No, Siri, I'm not trying to talk to you. But I enjoyed the Oscars. I was proud of. I kind of felt for John Cena because I read an article in the New York Times saying that the John Cena segment highlighted. I'm going to say it wrong, but how men and women aren't treated equally, because if that was a naked woman, it wouldn't be funny.
Yeah.
And the reason is because women have to get dressed up in all these like scantily clad dresses where they show you all the boobs and the butts and the thighs and whatnots. Mm. And then just like John Cena having to shuffle out there while covering his genitals with a card, he's like, that's what women do at all these award shows.
To go to Olive Garden.
Yeah, to go anywhere. And I'm like, that is so true. And then it made me look at John Cena differently, where I'm like, they only picked you because you ripped. Like,
it was a publicity stunt for his movie, too.
Of course. Of course it's a publicity stunt. But
he had nothing coming out. He's just like, I feel good naked. Remind people I'm ripped.
He's like, but his whole sense of fame is wrapped up in his body.
Yeah,
his from pro wrestling, and don't get me wrong, he has a great personality. He can talk, because if you can't talk, you're not going to make it very far in pro wrestling. So he can talk, and he has a personality, and he can do all that stuff. But he's also, his body is the image.
It's pretty good, yeah.
And it's a great body. I don't know.
And he's older too, right?
He's 40. He's 10 years older than me. He's 46. But his face looks a little older than 46.
It was nice seeing how many WWE wrestling fans in the comments of all these, like, Hollywood Reporter, because everyone keeps being like, I don't know what you're talking about. There's nobody on stage. I can't see anybody. That gimmick was going on through all the comments. I was like, oh, man, it's alive and well, dude.
Because his thing is, you can't see me. That's his, like, little thing. You can't see me. And so it's like, I don't see anybody.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
It's an empty stage.
Yeah. You know, I saw John Cena before he was John Cena.
What was his character?
The prototype.
Yeah.
It was before he wrestled on WWE TV. I was at a wrestling event, WWE, but he was in one of the undercard matches as the prototype. He came out like a robot, and he wrestled like a robot. And it's so funny how I don't have an eye for talent. Because I watched him, and he was in as good a shape then as he is now. And I was just like, I don't think that's going to work out.
Pass.
I just have no eye for talent. And I'm like,
scratch his name off your list of potential clients.
I'd be like the worst scout for not just wrestling talent, just any talent. But I don't think he's got what it takes. And I'm like, oh, biggest superstar in the entire
people
world.
People start betting against you. Everyone you decline, everyone takes a huge bet on.
It's like, do you know the Drake curse? So there's a Drake curse where if he bets on your fighter, whether UFC or boxing, I think even sports teams, he's like, he notoriously loses, and they call it the Drake curse.
Drake the rapper?
Yeah, Drake the rapper. Because remember we watched the boxing fight, Anthony Joshua and Francis Ngannou, and he bet like an egregious amount of money, probably not that much if you have Drake money, but he bet a lot of money on Ngannou to win, and he posted the bet on Twitter, and I don't know if you watched the fight, but Francis Ngannou got murdered by the second round, like knocked out harder than he's ever been knocked out, like he was asleep for like 2 minutes. Jeez. And yeah, they called that the Drake curse strikes again.
Should have to start gambling against him.
Yeah, I think Drake should post all of his bets, and then so everyone picks whoever the opposite is.
Yeah, do his bets like they do the Congress people's stock trades.
Oh,
there's whole Twitter accounts based on that, and then everyone just goes along with them. They're trying to stop that from happening.
Well,
so that you don't know what they're doing. Like, okay,
no, it cool, should be public buddy. Knowledge. You
and
guys
should be able to do it.
Yes, yeah, I want to bet the same amount that Mitch McConnell's betting on whatever he's betting on, coal or something. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, that was the other thing where I felt like I root for people. I watched the State of the Union, and I never understood the gravity of how stressful that speech must be. Because, like, it's a speech where I know politicians, presidents in general, you give so many speeches, but it still must get to you.
The whole world's watching.
The whole world's watching, and because I related it to myself, sometimes I don't get nervous when I go on stage, and sometimes I really do. And those moments that I really do, I would be like, oh, I would totally be nervous for the State of the Union if I was the president.
Absolutely.
Especially if they're nitpicking me for like spacing and saying the wrong words. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, damn it. Like I watched that Biden State of the Union with the like kind of fear in my heart that if I went to an open mic and my friend was going to do comedy for the first time, I was just sitting there like, oh, I hope he gets all his words right, you know? And like, I hope he doesn't step on his punchlines. And I thought he did a good job.
Don't crowd work. You're not good at it. You're not good at it. It's an actual skill. I know it looks easy.
Don't do crowd work. And then I looked at the State of the Union. It's if you take away the applause and the standing, it's a Christmas party. It's a company Christmas party that you're performing at where like maybe a section of it likes you and then everyone else is pretty cold and sometimes you get heckled and the person that's heckling you is drunk and in a suit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is a Christmas party. This is like doing a company Christmas party as a comedian. If you take out the standing ovations, it's just like everyone's kind of uptight, like HR's in the room and they don't know if they can laugh at certain things. And they're like,
looking
oh.
over being like, I thought we kicked George Santos out.
Yeah.
How do you sneak back
How did
in?
He get in?
It's open bar.
Who is that guy? Mike Johnson in the back who just kept making snooty faces. That's the owner of the company where everyone's looking at him. He's like, I don't know this joke. Yeah. And I'm like, man, dude, it is a corporate gig, except, you know, it's kind of a pep talk for the nation, I guess, is what it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. I watched parts of it, but then I got like grossed out by the Trump reaction to it. It was just, this country is, let's get out of here, huh?
Yeah.
He was making fun of, I don't know if you want to talk about it.
I don't even know what you're about to say.
He was talking about the State of the Union address and he was impersonating Biden by being like, our country. Like
he was making fun of
his speech impediment.
Oh, I didn't see that.
It was so gross.
I love
a good riff here and there, but like, I was just, it's just like, what are we doing?
Bullying.
That's what it's come to. I mean, we've lost, I don't know when it really happened, but, and it goes beyond politics. We just live in a mean culture.
Yeah.
Now, like everyone wants to be exposed. Oh, this person got exposed and we only root for winners. And like, let's be honest, most of the population is a bunch of losers. Mm. Like I rarely ever win. Now, most of the time I trip over sidewalks and fumble my words in person. Hopefully most of the time I get them right on stage because that's the one place I'm usually comfortable. But like this idea that everyone's just this, like, everything's great, and I always have the sharp. It's just this culture of snide cynicism, criticism, and it's just mean.
Yeah.
That's where we're at right now. I mean, like, even, how not just a political thing, but like how mean we are to Biden because he's old. And we're mean to Trump, too, because he's old. Yeah. Like, when did it become just culturally acceptable to bash people for their age? Especially in a time when we're supposed to be, like, we look out for so many marginalized groups. Mm. But if you're old, we're just like, you're an old piece of ass. Like, why don't you go die in the woods? And you're like, oh, my God. Like, we're going to get old, too.
It's different when you're... It's a politician versus like if you're just saying that to some old lady crossing the street.
Sure.
Then it's like, come on, guy.
Yeah, but it's like attack someone for their policy or something.
Sure.
But like if someone fumbles a word or something, you're like, because at the same time, people are like, well, what if he's too old to be president? Yeah, but the vice president's like 30. So yeah. It'll just be her.
Too young.
Like, yeah, maybe. All right, maybe too young. But I don't know. Like, we're just so mean to people.
Yeah.
And even Trump, like, we're mean to that guy. And I get it. He says a lot of mean things. So, like, people should give it back to him. But that just leads to more meanness. That just escalates it. Like, people make fun of his orange skin. Like, that's an insecurity. Yeah. He went to Florida and he probably hired a prostitute who made fun of him for his pale ass. And then so he started going to the tanning salon because his high-end escort made fun of him for his pale ass. And then now he's all orange. Like, will you like me now? Like all these things that people do, whether they get a tan, whether the Botox that Biden has, or even just regular people, they get lip filler, they fix this, they get a fake ass. It's because they're self-conscious about it. And we're just going outside going, do you like me now? And then we just like rip these people a new ass. And it's like, if we would take a step back and go, we're as much to do with where the world is as everybody else. We've encouraged all of this. And oh, yeah. We're just as guilty. Even though we sit back and go, we should go to Canada, which I think we should. It might get really bad in the next 6 months. We might go to civil war, but I think we've kind of encouraged mean culture by going, yeah, remember when so-and-so said this to that person? Did you see the look on their face when they were so sad? Wasn't that great? Mm-hmm. Like, we should feel kind of bad about that.
Got him.
Yeah, got him.
Yeah, it feels like it's coming out of the comment section into real life. Like,
yes.
The meanness.
Yeah, the comment section... Mm-hmm. Maybe the end of civilization as we know it was adding in, why don't we put in anonymous comments in the bottom under every video?
It was also like people forget that history exists.
Yeah.
You know, they're so worried about the statues being their history and they forgot that there was like books about it. And it's like, why don't you just remember that this is... America's not the best ever.
No.
Like there's been 15 other versions of this and they just get a little too cocky and then they fall apart in the middle. Another one. We're just in another peak, man.
Mm-hmm. People, man, we take, I don't know, everyone, you know what it is with social media is everything feels like it's happening to us when it isn't.
Yeah.
Every story feels like it's happening to us. Like a big one on the State of the Union was the migrants coming in and they're like, they killed somebody and there's some bad apples in there and some of them are causing violence. And then I was thinking about it. I'm like, yeah, it is a big issue. Then I went, wait a second. I live in New York. How has this affected me directly? It hasn't. How has the violence in this city affected me directly? It hasn't.
Yeah.
But because you see someone got shoved on the tracks and their feet got cut off, you're like, ah, my feet got cut off. Or that could have been me. It's like, no, it wasn't you. And so it's not... Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're separate. You can separate yourself.
Yes, you can separate or try to at least and go, is this problem really as big of a problem as it is? Or does it seem bigger because there's 1,000 articles written about it and a bunch of news stories like posted about it?
And I think it's if you're not, like my dad will still, every time I talk to my dad, he'll be like, how's it up in New York, man? It's a war zone up there, huh? I'm like, what? What are you talking about? He's like, it's just it's nonstop with the migrants and the this and the that.
Migrants.
I'm like, no, man. Like,
it's not
like that. I park right next to a migrant center. I've never had a problem.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I don't know who you're listening to.
Yeah.
But they're just, it's all about fear.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Today, when I was getting ready to come in, I had the news on. And they were like, TikTok might be banned in America finally. And I went, thank God. Like, Like, I used to think, like, let's keep it because, like, we can get some. But no, man, burn it to the ground.
Yeah, burn them
all. Burn Meta.
All of it.
Get Zuckerberg wants to go to Mars. Let him go.
Listen.
Like, let's get rid of all of this, dude.
The only reason I can sell a single ticket in this country is because of social media.
Yeah.
But if they made a deal with me personally and went, listen, we're going to get rid of social media, but you got to go back to working cruise ships, I'd go, I get it. And I'd go back to going working cruise ships and colleges and understand that I can't have a career, but we can go back to the way the world used to be before social media, where just people were nicer to each other. And not that things were perfect then, but we didn't hate so many people we'd never met.
Yeah.
You know, just get to know someone and then hate them. I'm not telling people not to hate. Hate is a part of love. Like, you can only love someone that you know. Yeah. You can only hate someone that you get to know. And so just get to know someone and then hate their guts. At least it's more genuine then.
Anyway, like and subscribe to the podcast. Make sure you follow us on all social media platforms.
We're thinking about starting a Patreon, you know, so give us more money.
Smash that subscribe button. I hate social media, but my link tree on Instagram.
Yeah, I need you to use it. I feel like a drug dealer. Because I don't have social media on my phone, and I download it, and then I do what I got to do, then I get off of it. But it makes me feel like a drug dealer, where I'm like, I'll do a little cocaine, but I'm mainly selling it. Yeah. I want you all to do cocaine.
I just make sure it works.
I just make sure it works.
I'll log in for you.
Yeah, yeah. I keep one pinky nail long, and I give it a little Colombian taste.
Typing.
Yeah, for my
That's so true.
Yeah. It's like I want other people to be on it, but also just so I can sell tickets. By the way, this week I'm in blah, 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 you know?
If everyone's off of it, then it's fine. Then if I'm the only one off of it, I don't want to be off.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But if, like, during the pandemic, nobody's working, I don't care about not working.
Right.
You know, no one else is getting spots over, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's that, that's the mentality, I think, that I try to take.
Yeah, it's hard.
Let's all get off of it.
Let's all.
Just turn this podcast off.
No, turn this podcast off. And they're like, we're already ahead of you.
Yeah, you got to turn it on first.
But yeah, we're just in a culture of mean right now. That's we could use a little more Mr. Rogers in society. Like, you ever think if he was alive today, he'd get his ass kicked so hard? Like, he'd get ripped, I think, by both sides.
He'd have
somehow.
So many haters.
I think he would. I think he would come out and go, you know, say his usual spiel of like, hey, you know, you don't have to, like, agree with someone to find common ground.
Well, they definitely would have come after him for, like, gender, you know, gender conformity. He'd be like, hey, boys and girls, like, you're not allowed to say that. They'd have found some innocuous reason to get rid of him, you know?
They probably would. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, there's always some angle to take somebody down now that even someone like Mr. Rogers would just get reamed on Twitter.
Yeah, he doesn't even have a chance as an old man to go, what is it? Oh, yeah, I can do that. Like, no, you don't have a choice. You don't have a chance.
No, you're out, man.
You're done, bud.
You're out. Get out of here. Yeah, it's a fun time. But
swallow a coffee down the wrong pipe. Ooh, boy.
That happened to me. That's why I messed up the last word I said, where I'm like, oh, God. I just spit on my own. I choked down my own midnight dark wrist.
I was laughing quietly.
You were laughing? Did you notice that? I love that you're off to the second one. He choked on his words.
Made you mispronounce your words. You were like, did you see Joe Biden's speech? It was pretty good. Make America great again. What the hell just happened there? Coffee just made me Republican.
Yeah, it's a fun time. We're getting close to a World War III. That's going to be fun. You know,
I don't like thinking about it.
I don't like thinking about it either.
Because it was funny and like cute a couple years ago to be.
But
like,
now it feels.
Now I'm like, oh no.
Yeah, I read an article that detailed all the beefs that different countries have with each other, and it's more than Russia, Ukraine, and the Middle East. It's like North Korea, South Korea. There's Pakistan and India. There's India and China. There's actually more. There's also the stuff going on in South America where they're like. There's a couple of Haiti. They're being overthrown, the government, by people that want a revolution. There's just a lot of mishap everywhere.
The world is erupting.
You know what's crazy is that I saw this thing and I started researching a little bit. There's a book from the 19th century called Baron Trump and his Baron Trump. What is it called? Shoot. It's a book. Oh, Baron Trump's Marvelous Underground Journey.
Isn't that Trump's kid's name, Baron?
Yes, but this was written in 1888.
Whoa.
And then there was a sequel to that called The Last President in 1896. And it, there's so many things that are exactly what... And the guy's dad, his name is Don.
What? And,
yeah, it's nuts.
Like, this guy's from the past and he took a time machine here or something?
Well, no, but it's, it was written in the 1800s.
That's crazy.
And he's a rich man who has his mentor named Don, who lives on Fifth Avenue, New York City. They find a portal to a magical underworld in Russia.
Whoa! Like, it's,
everything about this is so weird. And the theory is that this book was written at the same time that Nikola Tesla was playing around with time travel.
Oh.
And so there's a theory that it's possible that somebody saw. But then everything ends. He's the last president because Civil War kills everybody. And so that's their like starting to like, wait, what's going on here? Because the points that they make in this book are like, it's like a fiction.
It's like it's written by really Nostradamus or
basically,
something.
Basically, yeah.
Now
yeah.
I'm so scared.
There's a time travel-esque thing in here where there's, because the world ends basically.
Hey, so.
Isn't that kind of calming though?
Toronto?
No, it said the world ends. Yeah. That's Toronto's included.
Well, maybe that's why they're trying to go to Mars. Oh no.
Yeah.
And the guy who owns Tesla.
He wants to go to Mars. Why do you think he's testing all this? There's no seats for you on this mission to Mars. That was my favorite thing. It was like, no, we're testing these rockets so that you can go to Mars too. No, it isn't. That was just like, we're the Irish on the Titanic. We're in the third class. There's no lifeboats coming back for us. It's over.
Nathan McIntosh, great comic, as my that's like the most poignant point on that. He says, they talk about it like we're going to Mars. You aren't going to Mars. You haven't been to Jamaica.
Yeah.
What makes you think you're going to Mars? They are going to Mars.
Yeah, you're not going anywhere. I maybe I'm weird for this, but listening and hearing that there's a book that prophesizes the end soon is actually a relief.
Isn't it a little common?
It's kind of, I guess you don't feel that way.
I have so much anxiety right now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know. It's kind of a relief to know we don't have to do this much longer.
Oh, and his vice...
like life, you know?
The
like,
vice president's name was Pence.
You're kidding.
Swear to God, yeah.
I want
to
read this book. It's called Don Juan Julio. What's it called?
It's called Barron Trump's Marvelous Underground Journey. And then there's the book follows up with a book called The Last President, which is like the next book, I think.
Barron Trump book. I'm going to write
that's
in my notes.
Yeah.
That's wild. I hope it's not true because I don't know. I just... It'd be so sad. It would just prove how dumb we all are if we all ended up just killing each other. Because that's what we get. We elect all of our... We don't elect our best and brightest because we talked about this on another episode. Like, our best and brightest go into other fields. They try to solve cancer or they try to understand how science stuff works and what makes up a black hole. And our smartest people don't go into leadership roles. It's the people that chase vanity. And
it's like that same concept that if you paid cops more, you know, more intelligent people would be attracted to it. But in the meantime, you'd be paying current cops way more money to be doing the same things that they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, cops should be paid more.
Yeah.
Which means that better people would want to be cops.
Mm.
But then it's that catch 22.
Yes.
Yeah,
that is true. Yeah, it's, I don't know. We're not that great, I guess. You know what it is?
Maybe dogs have it right, man. Rub my belly, feed me. Sounds like a good time.
It's kind of like being on the subway, where there's one lunatic on the subway, and then everyone just kind of sits there in fear. Like, the people sitting there in fear are the quote-unquote normal people. The guy screaming on the subway can take over the subway. And so, like, that's essentially what politicians are. They're the ones that screamed eloquently, or not eloquently, I guess, in this day and age. And we all just sat there and went, I guess that guy's in charge. Yeah. And no one stepped up to do anything. And we're all just like, okay. And the people that step up and do stuff are morons.
Yeah.
That's the issue. And the rest of us are just sitting there going, our stop's next. We'll be off soon. And that's how we're looking at the end of the world. Man, the stop is coming up soon.
And
Broadway,
New York.
Lafayette, just we're out of here.
And it's all started with the C train in New York. They made it with no gangway, no doors between each one, and now the crazy one person on the train is now the crazy train.
Yep.
The whole train is
the
nuts.
Whole train.
The whole
crazy
train smells like Dookie.
Oh.
Oh yeah, we got into a car today.
Man, that guy today really scared me.
Oh yeah, we had
there was like a guy with like his hood on, and he was wearing a mask, and he just looked like he was about to shoot up the place, and he just kept walking back and forth, like really aggressively.
Through all the cars, though. That's not tough. Just in our car.
But he came through ours twice.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a gangway car?
Yeah, no, it was a door car.
Oh.
It was a classic door car, and he opened the door, and he pound walked through. And he wasn't a big guy. He was small. He was slight. Skinny legs. Skinny jeans. And pounded through. He actually scared this guy. This tall guy was sitting, and he just, out of the corner of his eye, he was on his phone, and he saw how quickly and aggressively this guy was walking. He went, oh! And I was like, nah. Yeah, I kind of laughed at him. And but I would have reacted the same way. And but then he came back through and did it again. And I told you, I was on that F train going to a show like last week, and he was there, and he did the same thing, like pound walked through. And it almost makes me wonder if he's almost doing like a psychological test on how people react
maybe
to someone just pound, because he never does anything. Like, he didn't try to snatch my phone. Even the time I saw him at night, there was like no one else in the car. It was just kind of me and like one other person.
Maybe he's having like a panic attack. He's just got to keep moving so that the demons stay out.
Maybe.
When I used to get panic attacks, I would just start, I'd have to start pacing to get, to
really?
Keep my brain occupied, to try to like trick myself into thinking something else is happening.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. We're talking about good, fun stuff here.
Yeah, this is a really dark episode.
Yeah, this is a dark the darkness anyway, comes at midnight. I
write all of this down.
So how are you preparing for the end?
How are you preparing?
I'm ready.
You
know,
I did read this. I read an article in The New Yorker where RuPaul has a bunker in Wyoming, and a lot of rich people do. And this article was really funny because it started about the bunker that RuPaul has in Wyoming, getting ready for the Civil War that's impending, and then it just went into Drag Race, and I was like, wait, more of that?
Go back.
Yeah, like the opening couple paragraphs were just like terrifying and fascinating, and then they're like, all right, so season 13 of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Bob the Drag Queen's back. Does Bob have a bunker?
But I thought, because I've heard that, like a lot of billionaires and really rich people have these big
silos
in Wyoming and these other places. But it would be so funny if before the Civil War happens, I don't know if you know this, but there's a giant dormant supervolcano in Wyoming at Yellowstone National Park that is, if one of those, there's like three supervolcanoes in the world, and if one of those goes off, it like ends civilization. And it would be so funny if all the billionaires went to Wyoming and they just, boom, like it was like, oh, we picked the worst spot. We spent so much money to die first.
Yeah.
You know? Are you looking that up?
I'm looking to see what celebrities have bunkers, but they're very tight-lipped about it.
Yeah, I'm assuming they bought that property under LLCs. Yeah. It's not like...
They didn't use their debit card to buy it.
Yeah, I don't think Matt Damon used his social to go get
Enter
a ranch.
PIN now. No, this was definitely a transfer of funds. This was not a
purchase.
Who was
telling us Zuckerberg has one in Hawaii?
Yeah, Zuckerberg picked Hawaii. Which, that one's also...
Like, isn't that also a volcano?
That's also... The whole island's a volcano.
It's
and
a real Dr. Evil business there. He was in a volcano.
Dr. Evil had a volcano. I don't trust anyone on an island. Billionaires on an island, not regular people. Billionaires on an island usually leads to some sort of investigation. And yes,
nothing good. They're not just there having pina coladas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're like, why are you on an island? You know? It's like a cruise ship.
You didn't ask me what the pina colada was made of. All right.
The pina.
Forgot. Yep, you're right. You're drinking the blood.
But it's fun stuff. But you know what we realized? We started eating bread, and we've been enjoying life.
Were you not eating bread for a while?
We weren't eating good bread.
We just couldn't find good bread. We didn't know where to buy it from.
And then I asked on Nextdoor, and that gay guy hit on me on Nextdoor. I think I talked about that. And then they recommended Winners, Winner Bakery, and they have a couple locations in our neighborhood in Brooklyn. And we went over there, and we got a loaf of sourdough with some cheese and pepper in it. And
it was like a giant stick of cheese that goes through the middle.
Through the middle of the sourdough. And we've been gnawing on that thing. Between the two of us, we finished that loaf of bread in like, what, two days?
Yeah.
There's something so great about like a super thick, crusty outside and a delicate soft inside.
Mm-hmm.
You dip
so
cereal
good.
With that, you know?
Yeah, I've been pouring the olive oil and the balsamic.
Yeah,
and
we've
salt.
Been dipping the oils and you know what?
That's a part.
We have the best energy.
We have so much energy.
I've been running, like last week, two of the days I ran 6 miles apiece, which is a lot for me. And I felt crappy on both days. And then once I started running, I just had endless amounts of energy.
Yeah.
And I was just like, yeah, I guess I'll keep running. I was only going to run 3 miles. Now we're at 4. Let's go to 5. Oh, my God. Let's go to 6.
The carbs, baby.
Yeah. And the all these, like, carb deficient. Yeah, maybe you have to cut all the carbs to have a 6-pack of abs. But are you tired? Have some bread. But some good bread, not Subway bread.
No,
not
you
like
can't
groceries.
Have sugar bread.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't have sugar bread. You got to go find a bakery where...
Donuts some... bread, right?
Come on, Duncan. Give me that black card. But yeah, you get some good bread made by a hipster with a nose ring and with some organic yeast or whatever they mm-hmm. use. And it will give you the amount of energy you need to, like, go do your business. Yeah. You know? It feels good.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. That was the end.
I ate mother yeast bread. One time.
You ate what?
Like a spoonful of yeast. Mother yeast. I was at like a bread tour. I was touring like a bread facility.
How was
when
that?
I was a food tour guide and got to eat the yeast of like, it was like 200-year-old mother.
Whoa.
Pretty not good. But
I was about to say.
It was interesting to be like, wow, I'm like eating history.
Wow.
Yeah. I'd be like,
you
it's
were
like
a food tour guide.
Yeah.
Mm. You've had so many jobs.
I know, dude. Too many.
Food tour guide.
I was a pizza tour guide, and then I started my own company doing called Fat Ventures with Alexis Guerreros, who's now on CBS. So he really spun his career off.
Well,
he has a soccer morning show.
Okay.
But we had a show, a tour called Fat Ventures, because we did a lot of tours. Where it's all the food tours are like one little tiny bite or samples. We were like full size.
Full size.
You get a full pizza. You get a full bagel. You get a full, you know, chicken or whatever it is. All those things you got, you got the big bites.
Hell yeah.
And then people are like, I quit. And they're like, nope, we got 4 more stops. They're loosening that belt.
Our favorite review, somebody said after taking the tour, they were like, this great blah, blah, blah. I was like, they call themselves Fat Ventures, but these guys aren't fat, but you can tell they used to be. It's like, well, did I show you my stretch marks? How'd you see me with my shirt off? That was such a good review.
They had the posture of a former fat.
Their shirts were too big for their bodies. Clearly they were much fatter.
Yeah, that's such a cool job.
It was cool, yeah.
I like how ingenuity, how much ingenuity you have where you're like a food tour guide for a short time. And you're like, I'll start my own company. And you're like the worst employee to hire because you're like, you're going to be my competition in like a year. You're going to be like, oh no, this guy's going to go start his own thing. And you're like, damn it. We should have had him sign some paperwork.
Well, the guy Scott, who's a great guy, Scott's Pizza Tours, still good friends with him, but he was checking out our website and he goes, yeah, you copied most of my website. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he goes, yeah, it's like the same. I go, oh, that because I did copy it. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Just some of the verbiage, nothing crazy.
You've done everything. You even had a journal company. Like,
I did.
Yeah. So many things.
I'd love to focus in, though. You know,
yeah, I should hone in on something.
Yeah. The only thing I've ever honed in on was comedy, is stand-up.
But that's why you're good at it. But maybe. You're also so good at all these other things, too. Like, I have my buddy Jason. He's into so many things. He gets super nerdy about a new thing. And then once he learns it, he completely stops being involved with it and moves on to the next thing to learn.
Yeah.
Like, we had coffee at his house, and it was the most delicious cup of coffee I've ever had. He weighed the beans. He grinded them. He's like, wait, are we having 2 or 4 people? Who's having coffee? And once he realized it was 4, he's like, oh, that's in a different equation of how much water to coffee and bean ratio.
Start throwing things away. Gotta start over.
Yeah, no. I'm serious. If like a fifth person would have shown up, he would have dumped out the coffee and redone the math. But it was the most delicious cup of coffee. We tried to recreate it at our house.
It was
garbage.
So bad.
Garbage.
We went and bought a drip coffee thing.
Yeah, we bought a thing with the hot thing.
It was so bad.
It was disgusting. Because we don't have a scale for the beans. Emma just eyeballed it. She's like, bah, whatever, dude.
You were paying enough attention. You're like, I don't think there was cat litter in it, but I guess just sprinkle some in. It seems right.
Ew.
I don't know. That's what not paying attention gets you.
It was disgusting.
It was like a moisture thing. You know, you take the moisture out. You take, what? It's coffee.
I'm not a detail guy. Like, I'm really not. I want to be that. I want to be a nerdy model car, get nerdy into coffee. But I think I should care enough about it. But once I start in on it, I'm like, whoa, I don't care. Yeah. I just want it. I don't want to make it.
Yeah, I feel like our teachers were right. if he just would focus in on one thing, he'd get good grades.
No, oh, man, that's a constant.
There's too much going on around me, buddy. You see what's going on outside?
Yeah.
What? Look at what's his name? He's chewing his pen. I'm just staring at him waiting for the ink to blow up.
Yeah, I think that was a constant remark on my report cards. Yeah. If he could just focus. When I have his attention, he seems intelligent. But the rest of the time, he's off in his own world. Which I think is a constant remark you have about me. Head in the clouds. Mm-hmm. Consistently.
All the time.
That's where the jokes come from.
Yeah, I'm starting to get used to it.
I think
I'm starting
are.
To accept you for
thank you
for the head in the clouds guy that you are.
All the time. You're like, what are you talking about? I was like, what are you thinking about? I was like, oh, I was just thinking about God treating all of us as toys, and maybe he just wanted dinosaurs all along, but he accidentally killed him. And then the next thing to come along was people, and he's like, I guess.
I'm going to keep some of the lizards around just for my own amusement.
Yeah, because it's kind of like, I think I talked about this on one of the other podcasts, but as a kid, everyone's into dinosaurs, and then you gravitate more to action figures as you grow up, and then you get older, and then you start... stop taking the action figures out of the case, and now you just keep them there, but you still keep the toys. But that's what God is. God's like young Sheldon playing at his train set, but he accidentally killed the dinosaurs, but he kept a couple lizards around, but he's like, I guess I'll deal with these people now, this is more mature, you know. But realistically, he just wanted a brontosaurus and a stegosaurus, and then humans came along and kind of ruined his vibe, man. He's like, I had a good thing going.
Wait, does that mean that the next step is we're all going to be in cases?
I think so.
Does that mean there's an ice age coming?
Maybe. Yeah.
Just frozen in a rock?
Yeah, we're just hanging on God's wall. It's like, it's better when they can't think and move.
That's funny.
I like people better when they're not trying to kill each other.
I'm sad now.
Aw, I'm sorry. Hey, you know what? We're enjoying life. We don't know how long life's going to go. Maybe this book of Don Quixote or whatever you're talking about, maybe it is true, and it's going to end once Trump gets reelected, and it's going to lead to a civil war, and we're all going to die. But what if it doesn't? Or even this, let's say that's true. Doesn't that mean that we should enjoy every day from today until the end as much as we can?
I'm going to eat so much bread.
That's what this episode's going to be called, So Much Bread.
Sponsored by Panera Bread.
Yeah. We're going to Portugal. We're going to go live it up. Yeah. We're going to go do a couple more trips before the end.
Yeah.
And think about all the people that are depriving themselves of something, of whatever, whether it's food or something. And then the world's going to end soon anyway. And you're like, what was I doing? What was I doing not enjoying life? And then I didn't know it was going to end next February.
What do they say? Somebody said recently, and I'm sure this isn't like a new thing, but I just heard it, was that when you're sick in the hospital and it's not looking good, like, it's crazy how quickly everything else doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so it's like when things become real, it's like, oh man, I can't believe I cared so much about the things that I cared about. Like,
doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It really doesn't matter.
That's
really
what they brush with death people. They change everything. Cause they're like,
yeah,
this is so stupid.
It's so dumb. Yeah. Like I watched a video of a killer whale eating a shark. Like, now that I've started talking, I don't think it has anything to do with
work it out.
Yeah, we'll keep an open mind. Go on.
We'll help you through it.
I was just thinking, because I'm like, the shark was just being a shark, and he's like, I'm pretty badass. Yeah. Things are going all right. And he was probably worried about other things. He's like, I don't know if I've seen a lady shark in a while, but I'm sure something will come. And then just whoosh, he's like, I'm being eaten by this killer whale. He's like, I probably should have appreciated the last time I had relations with the female shark.
Yeah.
But he was so in his head about getting that next meat, rah, 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 that he ended up getting eaten by something bigger than him.
I like that.
It was loose. I was kind of making it up on the fly.
No, it's good.
You ever start talking and you realize, I got nowhere to go, but there's already two people looking at you and they've stopped talking so you can talk? You're like, I can't waste this opportunity.
You're describing about 30 minutes into every time I'm on stage. The hell was I talking about?
All right.
None of this matters.
That's me at a lot of parties, where I'll start talking and I'm like, I don't know where we're going, but I guess it's my time.
Start hugging air.
I guess I gotta get out of here.
And then once you open your eyes and release, you realize that no one's there to begin with. You've just been making up this whole life, and you're in a... you're on the Jekyll's Island or whatever it is, that Leonardo DiCaprio movie where you're actually in the crazy island.
Yeah. Shutter Island. Yeah. And you realize you're a prisoner with mental disabilities.
Yeah.
You're just a weirdo wearing a hat. That's all you're doing. You're not a detective. You found that hat in the dumpster. I'm sure you have no clue what we're talking about right now.
I never know.
You're like, what's a killer whale?
I know. You know when I know you don't know what we're talking about? The more you nod. Like, the uh-huh. more I see you go, oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm nodding, I'm daydreaming.
What are you thinking about when we were talking about Shutter Island just a second ago?
What Bread. To eat for lunch. What to eat for lunch.
I think about that all the time.
Me too.
I'll be in the middle of breakfast, like, I wonder what I'm going to do for lunch. Yeah. Like, oh, you haven't even started breakfast, dummy.
What do you want to do for lunch?
Go somewhere.
Because then we're going couch shopping.
Uh-huh.
And you're going to go beat up this couch guy on a price.
I'm going to negotiate, yeah.
She's such a good negotiator.
Yeah.
I'm so bad at it.
Ask him what's in the warehouse. What colors do you have that are available right now that I can take off your hands?
What do you guys have? What are the floor models?
Yeah.
What do you guys want to get off the floor?
I remember, I told you this morning, Daryl Jones, my old boss, very much a father figure in my life since passed away, big redneck cigarette smoker.
Sure.
When he would buy a car, I think we should go into this very nice furniture store the way Daryl Jones used to go into a car dealership, ass crack out, cigarette in his mouth, and go, what's your bottom dollar on this couch? And then just start ashing on the couch that you want to buy. and see if we can't knock down those delivery fees, you know?
Yeah.
Get something out of it.
Yeah, free delivery, free setup, free removal of the old couch. Those are all good tactics that they can still charge.
I love
that. Yeah, yeah.
The removal of the old couch is
that's
a big one.
That's a non-negotiable. You got to take this turd of a couch that we accidentally bought and get it the hell out of here.
Yep.
Get it out of our lives.
We did that with our new bed frame. We bought a bed frame that is the electronic up and down.
Whoa.
Which we do not use. Complete waste of money.
It's also a hospital bed.
Yeah,
I like how
it's a little infirmed. And but that was the part of the deal. We got a better price, and then like they'll come deliver it and take the old one out. And our old one was all busted up, and so they had to like break it apart, and it was very worth it.
Yeah. Especially in New York, get this out of here.
Yep.
Because I don't have any place to put it, and I don't know if I can even sell it on Facebook Marketplace. Now they're going to have to get an Uber pickup truck and come drag. I'm probably going to have to help.
Exactly.
Yeah, remember that one time we sold something in San Diego? It was something heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an old lady that bought a giant cactus potted plant.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she lived down the street and around the corner. And I'm like, this old bag of bones ain't grabbing, ain't picking up this cactus that weighs 50 pounds. So I had to pick up this cactus and hold it away from me. Yeah. And now I'm going down the street and I'm like,
stopping
I'm
every 20 feet.
Well, then not only am I stopping, I'm clumsy. So like the idea of me tripping over an uneven slab of sidewalk and then just face planting it into a cactus just because we wanted to make 10 bucks off this pottery. I'm like, what are we doing? But I ended up getting it there. And I'm working out.
Right before you lift it up, you're like, somebody filmed this.
Somebody filmed this.
It's going to go wrong.
at least monetize this reel of me turning myself into a pincushion. You know?
That's funny.
Do what you can. How are we doing on this episode?
56.
Hey, that's about enough of that. I think every podcast episode should end with, that's enough of this, right? Probably. Get back to work. Go live your lives. Don't forget to get yourself a Safe Journal, safejournal.co. Go check out my live dates, zoltancomedy.com. Come on, Duncan. Make me a ambassador. Goodbye, everybody.
Trekking heavy or traveling light, there's one thing that's right wherever I go.